1 Corinthians 1:19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater, the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish or revealed to be foolish the wisdom of this world? And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, when I came to you, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come to you preaching with excellency of speech or of human wisdom. Then in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. It must not, just must not, but in the power of God, who is Christ Jesus. Now, verse 6, howbeit, however, but we do speak wisdom. Someone says, lest you think that the glorious gospel of our Lord is unworthy of notice and unworthy of regard because of the simplicity of it. And the gospel, when you understand the gospel, when you believe the gospel, enter into the gospel, it's simple. The simplicity of Christ. It's believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All things are in Christ and in him we're complete. Not only the simplicity of Christ, but we see the lowliness of God's ministers. He said over there in chapter 1, he chose the foolish things of the world, the weak things of the world, the things which are despised that God chosen. Not only the lowliness of the gospel ministers, but the weakness of his disciples. The Bible's full of the failures of God's people, of the victories of our Lord, but the constant failures of God's people. And when the world looks at the simplicity of the gospel and the lowliness of God's ministers, and the weakness of his disciples, they're prone to think that there's no wisdom in the gospel. But let me tell you something. Paul said, verse 6, we speak wisdom. We speak wisdom. Let me tell you, the gospel of Christ crucified, risen, exalted, seated, reigning, is the highest wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. And I'll tell you this, he said in verse 6, I speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect is mature. We speak wisdom among them that are mature, men and women who are taught of God. Over in chapter 1, verse 23, he said, we preach Christ crucified, yes, to the Jew a stumbling block, the religious man, and to the Greeks, the wise, the debaters, the disputers, nonsense, foolishness. But wait a minute. Verse 24, Christ crucified unto them which are called, to them who are illuminated, to them who are enlightened, to you. Listen, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yes, we preach wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. Verse 6, we speak wisdom, the highest wisdom, the wisdom of God among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the wisdom of the leaders, the princes of this world, that comes to naught. I told you, gave you those 3 points this morning. Not only do the leaders and princes of this world come to naught. David wrote a psalm and says, when they die, their purposes die, their ideas die, and their notoriety dies. But not only that, but their wisdom comes to naught, because it's forever changing. I am the Lord, I change not. His purposes and wisdom never changes, but man's wisdom's continually changing from generation to generation. And then it promises what it cannot give, and it gives you things you cannot keep. The wisdom of this world, it comes to naught, because it promises what it cannot give, and what it does give, it cannot keep. Because as you grow older, it begins to leave you. And after a while, you can't remember any of those things you used to know. But I remember him. I know his name. I remember reading a story about an old preacher of bygone days who lost his memory. And he was sitting one day by the fire in his chair, and he couldn't remember even his children's names. And someone came in, was sitting, talking to him, and they said something about a person called his name. Do you remember him? I don't remember him. You remember this one? No, I don't remember. Can't remember. And then they went on and they said something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, I know him. I know him. If he knows us and we know him, we'll always know him. Always know him. That's right. He becomes more precious, doesn't he, John, as you get way up in years and other things become a little less important, don't they? He becomes more important. So we speak wisdom among them that are taught, among them that are called of God. But verse 7, listen, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Has to be revealed. The wisdom of God. Who is the wisdom of God? Let's take a moment and turn to Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to turn over there to Proverbs chapter 8. This is a chapter about wisdom. It's about wisdom. And I'm going to begin reading. You can later on go back and read from chapter verse 1, but I'm going to start at verse 23. And this chapter tells you who wisdom is. Now, while you're finding Proverbs 8, let me quote a scripture in 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 20. John says, We know, the Son of God hath come, and he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Christ is our wisdom. And Christ is wisdom here. Listen. Verse 23, Proverbs 8. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the world, the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, the mountains. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Who are we talking about? An angel? No. A seraphim? No. Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decrees that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. This is Christ. We speak the wisdom of God. Now, that's Christ is the wisdom of God. And we'll show you another scripture in Luke 11. You turn over there and listen. And follow with me. Luke 11. Now you mark this scripture. I started to call this message the key of knowledge. And our Lord says here in Luke 11 verse 49. Now listen. Luke 11 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God speaking here. Our Lord is speaking. I will send them prophets and apostles. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. Speaks to us by the apostles in Christ. Some of them they'll slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say to you, it will be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, debaters, religious debaters. That's what this is, religious leaders. You've taken away the key of knowledge. Who's that? That's Christ. They've separated Christ from the types, and Christ from the picture, and Christ from the sacrifices, and Christ from the Old Testament. Separated Christ. Who's the key of knowledge? You entered not in yourselves. How do you enter into the kingdom of God? You believe on Christ. And you go in and out and find pasture. That's how you enter in. Come unto me and be you saved. But you wouldn't enter in, and them that are entering, you hindered. Oh, my. Take away the key of knowledge. Key is Christ. He's the wisdom of God. Let's go back to our text. Move on. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What's a mystery? A mystery is what's unknown. People say, that's a mystery to me, meaning they don't know. They don't know. It's a mystery to me. Well, this key of knowledge, this wisdom of God, Christ Jesus, the key of knowledge, when he came into the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own knew him not. He said to the woman at the well, woman, if you knew who it is that says to you, give me a drink, if you knew, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water, but you don't know. You don't know. They didn't know him. This wisdom of God in a mystery, even, listen, the hidden wisdom. This word is not used like we use the word hidden. Like we hide some. We used to play hide and seek. We'd hide from each other. God's not hiding Christ from you. This word is concealed. The wisdom of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, forgiveness of sin, salvation is concealed in Christ. If you find him, you'll find all these things. That's what it's saying. Abel knew. Cain didn't. Abraham knew, his father-in-law didn't. Moses knew, Pharaoh didn't. See what I'm saying? It's concealed in Christ. Let me show you that in Colossians. That's the reason it's hidden. It's where it's always been in Christ. But people who don't know Christ don't know the wisdom of God, the grace of God. We speak the wisdom of God. We preach the wisdom of God in a mystery concealed in Christ. Look at Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's concealed in Christ. Find Christ, find all wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures. Verse 9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in Him. God's glory is in the face of Christ Jesus. Paul said, our gospel, if our gospel be hid, if it be concealed, it's concealed from them who are blind, who are blinded by the god of this world. But God hath revealed them to us in the face of Christ. Look at verse 7. We preach wisdom in a mystery, even the concealed wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. My friends, God doesn't change. Now listen. All this is the same. This wisdom, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, ordained before the world unto our glory. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Everything that God does today, He ordained from all eternity. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Salvation in Christ is older than creation. That's right. Salvation in Christ is older than creation. God ordained these things before the world unto our glory. Isn't that what it says? Verse 9. Now listen. Which none of the princes, the word princes, as leaders of the world. Who are the leaders of the world? Well, they're leaders politically. They're leaders in religion. They're leaders in education. They're leaders in social things. They're leaders in every area, which none of the leaders, none of them. This mystery, this concealed wisdom in Christ, which God ordained before the world to the glory of His elect, none of the princes of this world knew it, and they didn't know Him. Listen, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Peter knew who He was. Thou art the Christ. Herod didn't know who He was. Pilate didn't know who He was. None of those Pharisees knew. Caiaphas didn't know. Men do not crucify their God. Men who know Him bow to Him. Men who know Him worship Him. Men who know Him love Him. Men who are taught of God. But none of these leaders, none of them knew Him. Turn to Matthew, or rather John chapter 6. John 6, just a moment. John chapter 6. These men speaking here now in John 6, these are the religious scholars. These are men who studied the Scriptures, the Old Testament, the Hebrew. They were leaders in the Jewish religion. They were the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 41 of John 6, the Jews murmured at Him, Well, he said in verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And these fellows murmured because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They didn't understand that. You do, don't you? And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? You know, don't you? They didn't. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, now, murmur not among yourselves. No man, whomever he may be, no man, whatever talent, gifts, knowledge, whatever he may, no man can, is able, has the ability, desire to come to me, to believe on me, to be enlightened as to my mission, ministry, mercy. No man can come to me except unless my Father, which sent me, draw him, call him, enlighten him, open his ears and eyes to see and hear, his heart to understand. And I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets. You fellas, he said, ought to know the prophets. It's written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught of God, the elect. And every man that therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, he comes to me. See, the princes of this world, they do not know. Our Lord said to the disciples, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. And blessed are your eyes, they see. And blessed are your ears, they hear. God's given you the seeing eye and the hearing ear. Scripture says the seeing eye and the hearing ear is of the Lord. Verse 9, listen to this. It's written. Where is it written? Isaiah 64. All of these things we preach from the New Testament written in the Old Testament. In type, in picture, in promise, in prophecy. It's written, I hath not seen, not the natural eye, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's the Old Testament says that, and the New Testament says that. Where do you see this word prepared? The natural ear, the natural eye, the natural heart does not see, hear, or understand the things God has prepared. Who prepared? Our Lord said to his disciples, when he was going to the cross, tried to explain to them his fact he was going to die, go back to the Father, leave them. They were so brokenhearted, so sorrowful. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I go. Where's he going? To the cross. I go to the cross. To the tomb. Rising from the tomb to the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God. Not to the tabernacle made with hands, but into heaven itself, to appear before God. I go to the cross, to the grave, to the right hand of God, to prepare for you a place. You for the place, and the place for you. See, if I don't go in first, he's the first born from the dead. He's the first begotten from the dead. He's the first man to conquer death and never die again. If I don't go, you don't have a place. And that's what this is talking about. This is not just talking about the comforts of heaven and the new earth. It's talking about God's Son, Christ, preparing for us entrance into the presence of God. He opened for us a new and living way into God's presence. And the natural man doesn't know that. He hasn't entered into it. The natural man doesn't have a clue. His eye hasn't seen, and his ear hasn't heard, and his heart hasn't understood the things that God in Christ has prepared for them that love Him. Now look at verse 10, but God. And I'll tell you, I thank God for these two words, but God. So many times in the Scripture, I started to just look up how many times it says, but God. And so often when the Scriptures reveal our deadness and our blindness and our ignorance and our inability, it's followed with these words, but God. But God. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we all had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, in the pride of life, in the lust of the eyes. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead, hath quickened us with Christ. And this says, nobody. No natural man, no eyes ever seen, no ears ever heard, no hearts ever entered into the things, the glory God's prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Somebody's eye sees. Somebody's ear hears, somebody's heart understands. God, but God, who God? What has revealed to us? To whom? Us? Sons of Adam? How? By His Spirit. How does His Spirit know so much? The Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. Deep things. You see, we live in a day of much religion, but it's light, frothy, no substance, no content, no understanding, no depth. People come in and go out, pass through, fads, whoop to do, but the deep things of God. What are the deep things of God? The covenant, the everlasting covenant, covenant mercies. The word covenant's used in this Bible over 300 times. Yet, do you ever hear a sermon on the covenants? The everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, the last will and testament. The Spirit of God searches all things. He searches the deep things of God. What about the promises of the Old Testament relating to the Messiah? All the way through the Bible, it talks about this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets. What did the prophets write? What about the prophecies and the promises of the Old Testament relating to the Messiah? Can you name them? The types of the Old Testament relating to the Messiah. The Son of Man and the Son of God. Divine nature and human nature in one person. Unto us, a child is born who never lived on this earth, but a son is given. A body hast thou prepared me, and that son who never left the bosom of the Father. How can that be? Yet he never left the bosom of the Father, and yet he entered a body and became a man. And on the cross, God forsaking God. Luther said, no man can understand that. Deep things of God. But why did God forsake Him?
Over in Isaiah, he said, your sins have separated you and your God. Christ bore our sins. He was the representative bearing our sin. How can God be just and justify you? How can a judge sitting on a bench facing a criminal who's guilty set him free and be just? The only way I know is for somebody to take his place. And that somebody's Christ. The Lord our righteousness. He's called the Lord our righteousness, and yet Jeremiah 33, we're called the Lord our righteousness. If man dies, shall he live again? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The way I hear it, everybody's going there, but that's not the way I read it. But the Spirit of God, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searcheth all things. His Spirit just doesn't run around singing, everybody happy, say amen. His Spirit searches the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. The deep things of God. The holy things of God. The great things of God. The things of God that are essential. Verse 11. Listen. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? That makes sense, doesn't it? The only one who really knows what kind of person I am is me. What I'm thinking, what I desire, what really is important to me. What really matters. And the only way you can know that's me to tell you. And even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Nobody. God told me, He did. The Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God. The Word of God. I'm not saying that the natural man hasn't heard these things. He's heard them. I'm not saying that he hasn't read them. I hear people say, well, I know something about the Bible. I've read the Bible. I'm sure many people have read it. The old Jews memorized it, but they didn't know Christ when he came. I'm not saying that they haven't thought about these things. But what it's saying here is that these things have not been revealed to them by the Spirit. That's right. Listen, let me ask this question. Do you suppose that the Egyptians heard about what was going to happen that night when the Lord passed through and the firstborn died? Now, there were 2 million Israelites down there in Egypt. 2 million people. And every family selected a lamb without spot or blemish, kept it put up for 4 days, got prepared to leave Egypt. Don't you remember? They borrowed gold and silver and things from the Egyptians. Where are you fellas going? We're leaving. You're leaving? Yeah, we're leaving. Pharaoh's not going to let you go. Yeah, he'll let us go. See, God said he's going to pass through at midnight and kill the firstborn in every home where there was no blood on the door. They heard that. That's no secret.
They didn't believe it, Ronnie. See, that's the key.
They didn't believe it. Well, I don't believe that. And these things of God, what I'm trying to preach here, the great things of God, the deep things of God, the covenant of grace, the mercy of God, the everlasting covenant, the sacrifice of Christ, that in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive, these things, I don't believe that. I know most people don't. Most of the preachers don't believe that God has a people. He gave them to Christ. But verse 12 says, we've received not the spirit of this world, the religious world or the political world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. That God gave us salvation in Christ, gave us repentance, gave us faith, gave us understanding, gave us an inheritance, gave us illumination. Everything I had, He gave me. The only thing original about me is original sin. That's mine. I can claim every sin I've ever committed is mine. Originated right here. But everything else, holy, spiritual, eternal, I've got, originated with Christ. He gave it to me. Knowledge and everything else. In which things, verse 13, we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. That's not the way we teach. You don't use man's ways and methods and means. Now listen carefully. I want you to listen to something. But which things we speak, we preach, the things of God, deep things of God, truth of God, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. You know, let me think with me a minute here. It's become popular in the last, 100 years, 50 years especially, to keep making new translations of the Bible. The Bible in modern language. The Bible in the language of children. The Bible in swing language to appeal to the hippies. My friend, you can't enlighten people just by changing the words of Scripture. That's not going to give them ears. That's not going to give them eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. Just if the Holy Spirit enlightens them, they'll understand this Scripture. You don't need to put it in vulgar terms. I hear these preachers talking about all the time those old hymns. He said we need to liven up this music and need to put it in the music of the young people, in the jive and the rock and roll. Changing the tunes is not going to enlighten people to the truth of God. I'm standing here in a suit. I've always preached in a suit, most of the time a blue suit. Yeah, I could put on jeans and tennis shoes, but that wouldn't enlighten anybody, would it? We could get along with the young people. I want them to get along with God. I want them to know God. Well, preacher, you're too dressed up. You need to take off your tie and put on a sports shirt and put on a plaid shirt and blue jeans and tennis shoes, and you'd kind of communicate with people. They wouldn't believe me if I sit up here in a whatever. God has to open their hearts. Isn't it? Well, put on a robe, and maybe some of the intellectual people, the educators, put on a robe and put on all these different things, and you'll appeal to them. My, my. Verse 14 says, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, whether they come in tennis shoes or patent leather, whether they come in a robe or a T-shirt, whether they come in jive language or old 17th century English, it doesn't matter. The Spirit of God has to open the ears and the eyes and the heart. I'm just going to be myself and preach God's Word, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Well, tell more stories. No, spiritual things with spiritual things. Speaking the language of everyday, no, spiritual things, compare the Scriptures with the Scriptures. The best commentary on the Scriptures is the Scriptures. That's exactly right. Let me show you about this natural man. Turn to Romans 5. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Let me show you this. I'll let you go in a moment. But here's this natural man. You know, I asked a man one time, I said, you know, you're putting out this living Bible, changing the words. Why are you doing this? And here's what he answered. To help people understand the Bible. And I said, my friends, the Holy Spirit's the only person that can make a man understand the Bible. Changing the words won't help him. He's got to understand it here, not just here. Look at Romans 5, verse 6. Here's that natural man, verse 5. I'm sorry, Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. Here's that natural man. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They think on these things of the flesh. They covet the things of the flesh. They desire the things of the flesh. That's their mind. Dwells on those things. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. The carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It hates God. Enmity is hatred. The natural mind, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The natural man, verse 7, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He can't do anything to please God, the natural man. So back to my text. The natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling in us to open the Scriptures to us. The natural man doesn't have the Spirit of God. He doesn't understand the things of God. Now watch this, verse 15, but he that's spiritual, he that's born again, in whom the Spirit of God dwelleth, he understands. The word judgeth there is understands. He understands all things. Yet he himself is understood of no man. I'll tell you this. When a natural man or woman is regenerated, converted by the Spirit of God, born again, and God begins to teach him the Word, he's going to have a hard time getting along with the folks he used to get along with so well. They don't understand what he understands about the Word. And they don't understand him. They don't understand what he understands. And they don't understand him. They don't understand his language. They don't understand his spirit. They don't understand his principles. They don't understand his doctrine. They don't understand his beliefs. He understands, but they don't understand him. In verse 16, listen to this in closing. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who knows the deep counsels of God? Who knows the person and work of Christ? Who knows the prophecies and promises and pictures of the Old Testament? Who knows the hidden mysteries, the types and shadows? Who knows the things that God has prepared for those that love him? Who knows those things? The philosophers don't. The religionists don't. The ceremonialists don't. I'll tell you who does. It says right here, we have the mind of Christ. Those who have the mind of Christ, they know these things. I know, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, and we see through a glass dimly, but we know all these things that are essential to the comfort of the soul and the salvation of the soul. We know. Thank God he's been pleased to reveal them unto us.